Over the last several weeks, we've been dealing with the problems of the Mormon Church. We've dealt with what they believe. We've dealt with some of the problems that they have with reference to biblical Christianity. And last week, we dealt with the whole idea of Joseph Smith being a false prophet and actually came to the conclusion that the LDS Church is a non-profit organization full of deceived people. This week, as I promised, we're going to be dealing with the whole issue of evidence, archaeological evidence, for the Book of Mormon. My name is Rob Lundberg, and you are listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. Listening to the Let's Get Real podcast, and I want to thank you. Over the last several weeks, we've been addressing the LDS Church, and we have been, we started from the very beginning with just what they were all about. Then we moved into how they differ from biblical Christianity. We brought in some of the false teachings that they have. And then we also dealt with terminologies and differences, one of those episodes. And then we talked about Joseph Smith last week. Now, here's the whole reason for this is because the whole foundation of the LDS Church is based on their prophet, but ultimately on the source book of the Book of Mormon. Now, I've done episodes in the past where we've talked about the Bible, but my general summation of the Bible is, number one, you have a collection of reliable historical documents. So the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents that were written by some 40 writers, three different languages, three different continents, three different languages being Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, three different continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. And these writers of these 66 books, see, the Bible is not just a book, but it's a library of 66 books. And if you're Catholic and you're listening to us, thank you for listening. You have your 11 to 14 books of the Apocrypha, which I've addressed in the past. There's some historical aspects of the Apocrypha, but a lot of it is just pseudepigraphal. In other words, it's not true. But the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses, eyewitness testimony during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, recording for supernatural events in direct fulfillment to specific prophecies. And next week, we're going to talk about the significance of the virgin birth as we draw near to the Christmas holiday. But when we talk about the Book of Mormon, you know, they believe, the Mormons believe that it's a reliable book, that it was dug up in the Hill Cumorah in upstate New York, in Lyons County, in a town called Palmyra. And I've been out there. I've been to the Grove. I've been to the place. I've been to the Missionary Training Center. We were there the weekend that Notre Dame was playing Brigham Young University. And I got some stories about that that I won't get into right now. But there's really no credible evidence for the reliability of the Book of Mormon. Now, there was a letter that was written in 1996, and the apologists for the Mormon Church have been working feverishly to try and debunk the letter, the claims in the letter. But when you deal with the Smithsonian Institution, you're dealing with what I would call when it comes to historical Christianity, enemy attestation. Now, enemy attestation is when you have somebody arguing for your cause, but they do not agree with you in many things, if not all things, other than the fact of that moment of the cause. In other words, your enemy is saying something good about you. And the Smithsonian Institution holds to Darwinian evolution, which has been debunked by many strong scientists, including atheistic scientists. But this letter comes from the Smithsonian Institution. It's information from the National Museum of Natural History, Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., zip code 20560. And what it says on the cover letter, I'm going to read this letter to you, and I'm going to make some commentary as we go through it this episode. Because the Mormons make a lot of claims that there's a lot of archaeological evidence. They like to say that there was a group of Jewish people that came over from Israel to Central South America and established tribes around 300 BC. And they came over on their canoes. There's no archaeological evidence for that, but I'm not going to get into that right now. It's just amazing. It's rather miraculous and rather ridiculous, to say the least. So, and another thing, so that you know that I'm telling the truth, I'm going to provide a PDF of this Smithsonian letter, the exact real McCoy of this letter, so that you can view it yourself. And if you're interested in what the Mormon Church doesn't teach or the Mormon Church teaches and where they are in error, this will be a valuable tool to you that you can show the missionaries. Of course, like I said, the LDS Church, Fair and Shields, those are their two apologetics websites where I've looked at some of the things this week as far as what they're saying about this letter, and all they do is just make the statement that it's bogus. I don't believe it's bogus. I have the letter right here. So let me read the letter. And there are essentially eight pieces of information provided by the National Museum of Natural History. And you be the judge yourself also. There is a list on this for suggested readings as far as some of the archaeologists and all that have, for lack of a better term, done their research, talking about ancient Mayan culture and all. There's two pages, a page and a half really, of just suggested readings as far as sources, as far as where they get their information. Now, in this case here, I am being the messenger, so basically the mailman, and you can make the decision on your own. I'd leave it totally wide open if you're a Mormon. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode, and I'd love you to challenge me on this, because I will debate this, and I'll even debate this on YouTube Live, that there's more archaeological evidence for the Bible than there is the Book of Mormon. And because that is one of the tests of the bibliographic tests for the authenticity of the 66 books of the Bible, it still gives the Bible a leg up on the Book of Mormon, because the Mormon Church alleges that there was an apostasy and a corruption of the text. There was no, and we talked about that in a past episode. I'm not going to get into that. But here's the letter, and let's go through those eight points. Okay, first off, somebody had written a letter, and this was in 1996, and National Museum of Natural History responded with this cover letter, and it says this: "Your recent inquiry concerning the Smithsonian Institution's alleged use of the Book of Mormon as a scientific guide has been received in the Smithsonian Institution's Department of Anthropology." The Book of Mormon is a religious document and not a specific guide. The Smithsonian Institution has never used it in archaeological research, and any information that you have received to the contrary is incorrect. Now, let me stop there for just a moment, because if you go and you look at anything where you go and you do a search for Smithsonian Letter, Book of Mormon, you're going to see Mormon apologetics responses to this. But see, folks, this letter is straight from the source of inquiry. In other words, you go and you write a letter and you're saying that, oh yeah, the Book of Mormon was used by the Smithsonian Institution to determine its credibility. And the Smithsonian Institution's coming back and say, I'm sorry, this is not true. Your statement and your conclusions are incorrect. And then it goes on further to say, accurate information about the Smithsonian's position is contained in the enclosed statement regarding the Book of Mormon, and that's in quotes, which was prepared to respond to the numerous inquiries that the Smithsonian receives on this topic. So what we have here, folks, is people going and saying, hey, what about the Book of Mormon? You know, the Book of Mormon's got some archaeological evidence. Hey, Smithsonian Institution, give us credibility. And the Smithsonian Institution's coming back and saying, I'm sorry, no, it's not there. It's not present. Now, if you did that with the Bible, you would get tons and tons and tons of over 2,000 pieces of archaeological evidence that science cannot disprove to go and show that the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses recording supernatural events that are in direct fulfillment to specific prophecies. And these writers claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. Now, next paragraph. Because the Smithsonian Institution regards the unauthorized use of its name to disseminate inaccurate information as unlawful, we would appreciate your assistance in providing us with the names of any individuals who are misusing the Smithsonian's name. Please address any correspondence to, and they have the address. And the letterhead shows the letterhead, National Museum, with its symbol on the left-hand side, National Museum of Natural History, Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560. Prepared by, at the bottom of the page, the Department of Anthropology, Smithsonian Institution, 1996. Now, here's the thing. People who ask the question do not have the information. Again, I am providing you with the information of this letter so that you could see that I am telling you what I'm telling you here on this show today. Now, there's 8 points. It consists of 8 points. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through these 8 points and maybe say a few things, possibly. If not, we'll just let the statements say what they say. But please understand, I believe the Bible is a reliable document. I believe it's a historical document. I believe it is the Word of God. I believe it is without error. I believe it is sufficient for life. And I also believe that the Holy Spirit has protected it so it did not go missing in action when the Mormon Church says it did. Now, point number one. The Smithsonian Institution has never used the Book of Mormon in any way as a scientific guide. Smithsonian archaeologists see no direct connection between the archaeology of the New World and to the subject matter of the book. There is a video out there. It's about 2 hours long. I have it in my playlist with regards to Book of Mormon research, I guess, where there are archaeologists being interviewed, basically verifying this very thing. Now, number two, the physical type of the American Indian is basically Mongoloid, being most closely related to that of the peoples of Eastern, Central, and Northeastern Asia. Archaeological evidence indicates that the ancestors of the present Indians came into the New World probably over a land bridge known to have existed in the Bering Strait region during the last ice age in a continuing series of small migrations beginning about 25 to 30,000 years ago. Now, you're getting the lens of history from the Smithsonian Institution in this. That is up for debate. We're not going to debate that here. Number three, present evidence indicates that the first people to reach this continent from the east were the Norsemen, who briefly visited the northeastern hemisphere, part of North America, around AD 1000, and then settled in Greenland. There is nothing to show that they reached Mexico or Central America. Now, true story, when I was younger, I did a lot of diving, and in the North River, I saw Viking ship anchors that were left. They were huge, round stones with rope that had rope going through the center. Or they were huge blocks on the saltwater side of the North River in Massachusetts. So, and those were the type of anchors that the Vikings used. Now, if you look at my last name, Lundberg, you would know that that probably is not Norwegian, it's Swedish, but the Norsemen were both Swedish and Norwegian. And of course, there's a lot of jokes that go on between the Swedes and the Norwegians, but nevertheless, what we have is, with regards to this statement here, that the Book of Mormon strikes out on this. Number four, one of the main lines of evidence supporting the scientific field finding that contacts of the old world civilizations, if they indeed occurred at all, were of very little significance for the development of American Indian civilizations is the fact that none of the principal old world domesticated food plants or the animals except the dog occurred in the New World in pre-Columbian times. Now, you're going to have to go back to your social studies with regards to this, as far as going back to your studies with the explorers. American Indians had no wheat, barley, oats, millet, rice, cattle, pigs, chickens, horses, donkeys, camels before 1492. So if you're woke and you don't like Christopher Columbus, suck it up, buttercup. Because 1492 is a significant date when Columbus came over. Camels and horses were in the Americas along with the bison, mammoth, and mastodon, but all these animals became extinct around 10,000 BC at the time of the early big game hunters spread across the Americas. Like I said, we don't know anything about prehistoric times. We weren't there. But nevertheless, this is what the Smithsonian Institution says. Number five, iron, steel, glass, and silk were not used in the New World before 1492. Wow, there might be some significance to 1492. Except for occasional use of unsmelted meteoric iron, native copper was worked in various locations in pre-Columbian times, but the true metallurgy was limited to southern Mexico and the Andean region, where its occurrence in late prehistoric times involved gold, silver, copper, and their alloys, but not iron. What is the significance of this? Because here's the thing. The story behind the LDS Church and the Book of Mormon is the fact that you've got two nations of people, the Nephites and the Lamanites, and they battle. One's a group of, the Nephites are white, and the Lamanites were supposedly from Jerusalem, and they were the American Indians who came over in the canoes 300 BC. I mentioned that earlier in this show today. And they battled, and they used so-called iron and steel and had all of their all of their weapons with that. Smithsonian Institution saying, no, they didn't. They didn't have it. In fact, that what that does is it totally wipes out the Lamanite-Nephite wars that are recorded in the Book of Mormon, as far as how the Book of Mormon and how the book how everything all got started, with the plates being dug, a hole being dug in the Hill Cumorah in upstate New York, and the plates being buried there. You know, that's all a bunch of nonsense. I wanted to say something else, but I wasn't going to. Number six, there is a possibility that the spread of cultural traits across the Pacific to Mesoamerica and the northwestern coast of South America began several hundred years before the Christian era. However, such interhemispheric contacts appear to have been the results of accidental voyages originating in the eastern and southern Asia. It is by no means certain that even such contacts occurred. Certainly, there were no contacts with ancient Egyptians, Hebrews, or other peoples of Western Asia and the Near East. So that just goes and basically confirms what I just shared with you. Number seven, no reputable Egyptologist, somebody who studies the Egyptian writings and Egyptian culture, or other specialist on Old World archaeology, and no expert on New World prehistory has discovered or confirmed any relationship between archaeological remains in Mexico and archaeological remains in Egypt. In other words, the Book of Abraham that they have is a wipeout in Doctrine and Covenants. So you see, there's problems automatically with regards to the Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenants now. And then number eight, reports of finding of ancient Egyptian, Hebrew, and other Old World writings in the New World in the pre-Columbian context have frequently appeared in newspapers, magazines, and sensational books. None of these claims stood up to examination by reputable scholars. No inscriptions using Old World forms of writing have been shown to have occurred in any part of the Americas before 1492, except for a few Norse runestones which have been found in Greenland. And of course, those are the eight statements in this suggested reading. Folks, I will go and I will put these in a PDF form, which I have already. And I'll put the link on there on this so that you can see this letter for your own. And you can go and you can refer the Mormons to this episode, and you can share with them why their book is a wipeout, why their prophet is a wipeout, and why the Book of Abraham is a wipeout, and why their whole religion is a wipeout, and that you have 11 to 12 million members, most of them not in the Americas, deceived by this false cult. And that's right, it is a cult. And if you remember very beginning, a cult is a group of people gathered around someone else's interpretation and deviates from the doctrines of historical Christianity. And we went through the addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. You can go back to that episode on how to recognize occultic teaching. You can go back and deal with the fact that you can understand that they add sources to give, you know, to the Bible. And of course, what they do with the Joseph Smith translation is they go and they take stuff out of the Bible that was originally in the Bible and put Joseph Smith's words in there and make it all about Joseph Smith rather than about Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to wrap it here. And you've been listening to the Let's Get Real podcast with Rob Lundberg. Thank you for listening to this episode. This has been an information-packed episode. And I want to let you know that we're here to serve you. Next week, I'm going to talk about the significance of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and how it totally shows the work of God, a triune God, and how it makes significance to yours and my salvation. And it is the linchpin of the gospel because it was prophesied in the Old Testament in the very first book in Genesis 3:15. It was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. Jesus' identity is confirmed in Isaiah 9:6. And then, of course, you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that were written before A.D. 70, that go and confirm and affirm the truth of the virgin birth and affirm and confirm the truth of the Christian faith. But that's not the starting point I go. I go from the effect to cause. This would be from the cause to the effect. But nevertheless, Christianity is still true. And if Jesus is truly risen from the dead, then everything else is a wipeout. The New Age is a wipeout. Any teachings in the New Age is a wipeout. The Book of Mormon is a wipeout. Islam is a wipeout. Jehovah's Witnesses is a wipeout. And any other religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Sufi, you name it, they're all a wipeout because Jesus is risen from the dead. And it was prophesied from long ago. Thank you for listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. This is the audio arm of Rob Lundberg Ministries. Next week, I look forward to visiting with you as we draw nigh to the Christmas season. This is the 12th of December. Next week is the 19th, and then we have 19th and then 7, 26. So we will have a day after Christmas episode as well. And then I've got some plans where we're going to start looking at New Age teachings and as far as what all that's about. I had a conversation with a young man I'll leave nameless. You keep him in your prayers. And he had been in some real heavy stuff in the New Age. And he came out of it and recently, back in July this year, came to faith in Jesus Christ. So you keep that young man in your prayers. I won't mention his name. And I just want to give him a shout out for sharing that information with me yesterday on Discord. So, by the way, if you're on Discord, look me up. I have a server on there. Also, look me up also on MeWe and Rumble and Gab. Also, we're on those as well as Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So until next week, this is Rob Lundberg from the Let's Get Real podcast, Rob Lundberg Ministries. And you will be listening next week as we get ready for the Christmas season. So until next week, as you go out, this is the reason for the season. That reason for the season is Jesus Christ. And what an exciting time that you and I have to talk about spiritual things, because this is a spiritual time of year where people think about Christmas and what it really means. And I'll have more on that next week. So until next week, this is Rob Lundberg from the Let's Get Real podcast. Go out and give them heaven. Lord bless.